Good morning. I'll talk to you. You're right behind the camera. Well, this is a little unusual. Speaking to a few people, but it's good. So one good thing, I'm going to look at the positive, is all those people that are at home worshiping, I expect some new dance moves when they come here because you're uninhibited at your home. So no pressure, just kidding. So I just wanted to invite all those people on Facebook to continue to engage. We're going to share the word here in just a few minutes. Zach is watching. We love you, Zach. And just may the Holy Spirit fill your room right now. And I just give you a quick update. We're hoping he comes home very soon from the hospital. But I want to encourage you, Zach and Sage have poured into us tremendously. And I just feel led that if you want to give to them financially for the medical bills, you can do that. You can send a check into the church. Just make sure you earmark it for that specific thing. And you can also do it on PayPal. So I'm going to have Jay come up here real quick and do a announcement about the giving and just what he has on his heart.
Good morning. Not sure how to start this, but the Holy Spirit's been downloading to me here this morning. And this is for tithes and offerings. I'm up here speaking to you. So we're going to be giving akbridgeofhope.com. It's a PayPal account on there, I believe. And this is a time of great opportunity. I know for me personally, I could never have imagined a time when the whole world, let me say that again, the whole world would be listening. The whole planet is on alert and listening. We have an opportunity with each other, with our neighbors, our community, our country. I encourage you to pray into that and see what the Holy Spirit would have you do in this time of great opportunity. I believe that whatever level that's on is important, and that it's our time to shine. Amen. So I've been praying in that a little bit, and I'll just give you an example of what I hear the Lord speaking to me to do. And I would ask you not to just copy what I'm doing, but to, well, in a way, copy. Ask the Holy Spirit what He would have you do. So copy that. I've heard the Holy Spirit encourage me to go out and buy gift cards at the restaurants that I haven't been frequenting, that I would normally frequent, and give them out to my neighbors, ones that He's highlighted to me, in addition to praying for my country, which is a big deal, our leaders, the local, city, state, nation. So Heavenly Father, I just thank You today. Thank You for this great opportunity, an opportunity like we've never seen in our lifetime. Father, we choose to step in. I declare today that we're going to move in boldness and courage and Your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, let's get into the Word. I have to remember to look up. So you just stand back there, Jay, because I'll look at you. I'm going to open up in prayer first. Need to get the jitters out. I encourage you, keep the comments coming. Annie is monitoring the comments. And if you have a prayer request, you can send that into info@akbridgeofhope.com. Somebody will get with you or email you back regarding your prayer request. And we'll lift up those prayer requests in prayer as a body or as a leadership. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we live in exciting times. Lord, and we just thank you for this time that we live in. And we just give it to you and give you the glory. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, that you would just rest upon myself, rest upon every person that is listening, whether it's live or they watch it later. Lord, that your presence and your spirit would just fall upon them. Fall on us. Make your word living and alive in us. And I just thank you for this time. I give it to you. I just pray right now that you just take that coal and cleanse my lips. Lord, that the words that I speak will be your words and not my own. Just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, God's had me on Joshua for a while. The first five chapters of Joshua. And I didn't find it coincidence that David McDonald, when he was here during our conference, he started out, the first thing he said to us as a body is, it's time to be courageous. And that's kind of where I've been at. And so I've actually titled this message, Be Strong and Courageous. So I encourage you, if you're at home, get your Bible, your Bible app, get it open. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and we're going to start in Joshua 1:1. And let me just go ahead and read it. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So while I was looking at this, I was seeing promises of God in this. And our focus has to be on the promises of God. So I want to start on what did God promise us? And my first one was, in verse 3, it says, I will give you every place you set your foot. Yeah. And so I want to encourage you that God has placed your feet. He's placing your feet. And that's a promise that he said, wherever you go, I will be there. Wherever you place your foot, he's going to be there. The second promise I wrote down was, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. That's very encouraging to me because, we do feel like sometimes we get stood up against. God's saying, I'm for you. He's, all the days of your life. That's not just, he's here for you now. Maybe I'll be there for you later. Right. No, he's with you all the days of your life. And the enemy, the devil, those that come against you will not be able to stand against the Spirit of the God that lives in you. The third promise was in verse 5, it says, I will be with you. The Lord will be with us. He's with me. He's with you. He's with you at home. And I split this up into four promises, even though it says, I will be with you, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But I actually think that fourth promise is important. I will never leave you or forsake you, because again, he's saying, I will never forsake you. So with the eyes on the promises of God, I believe that we have a part to play. And our part is, I have a list of 11 points. And if you're anything like me, I'm a formula guy. You do this, 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 and you'll get this outcome. And I encourage you, I'm encouraging myself not to do that with this. You may be doing really well in some of these points, and really you're doing a good job on it. You can just take it as an encouragement, and the other ones, the Holy Spirit might convict you a little bit on it. And the part that I see is in verses 6 through 9. And then also we're going to jump to Joshua 3 and then also to Joshua 5. But we'll go ahead and read Joshua 1, verse 6. We'll start in 6. It says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of laws depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be wherever you go. So in that set of verses, the first one I had was, be strong and courageous. Be very courageous. And the times we're living in right now is we need the courage of the Lord. Yeah. And part of it is we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And, you know, we do have courage. I mean, I've seen, you know, you don't have to be a Christian to have courage. There's many military people that are super courageous. And there's many people are strong, both men and women. I've seen some strong women, not necessarily physically, and I've seen physically strong women too as well, but very strong, powerful people. Yeah. And he's saying, you guys be powerful. We're powerful people. Yeah. And not to do, you know, not to belittle ourselves. I think we all have a tendency of criticizing ourselves, belittling ourselves, and saying, you know, basically curses against ourselves. And we need to not do that. But we need to be strong and courageous. So that was my first point. And another part of our point two of our part was, be careful to obey. It's very important. I would like to say, I always say yes to the Holy Spirit. And I know there's lots of times I miss when the Holy Spirit is saying, do this, and it's like, oh, don't beat yourself up on it. And don't compare yourselves to others as well. But, you know, I know Reinhard Bonnke said, he's never said no to the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, I want to be like that dude. I want to be like that guy. But I encourage you, you know, part of it, that is learning to listen for the Holy Spirit. Especially right now, I mean, it's been a crazy week, I'm sure, for all of us. And, you know, Zach and Sage, hospital, medical stuff, all the stuff, questions. myself, we've been, I mean, I had lots of overtime when people are saying stay home at work. I actually worked more than I work normally. And on top of that, and just all the stuff, getting kids for, ready for school. I know there's a lot of parents out there trying to figure out stuff for kids for the school. There's a lot of stuff, but we need to be careful to obey, even in our busyness. And listen to calm ourselves, to calm our mind, and be the, to get in a place of where I'm, I'm in the presence, and I hear you, Lord, and I'm going to do what you, and that can be as simple as call this person. They may need it right that moment. And so be listening for that. Number three, I have, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. We need to be speaking scripture. We need to be speaking the word over the situations, over everything, over our families, over our situations, over our circumstances. Whatever it is, we need to be speaking the word. And if you don't know the scripture, dig in, find it. Which leads me to the next point. Meditate on it day and night. You can't meditate on something you don't know. So I encourage you, and I'm pointing to myself, get in the word for, if you need encouragement in a situation, get into your word and meditate on it day and night. Change the way you think. And part of that may take repentance, because you may be thinking wrongly, and repentance means changing the way you think. And so part of that has to do, actually a big part of it has to do with the scripture. It's the word of God. Number five, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged. That's in verse 9. Especially in the times we live in right now, there's temptation to get terrified and discouraged. And, I think we've all been at that place where, even the point where panic may come in. And so I'm just speaking the attack of panic attacks. To be done, no more panic attacks, and just peace in the situation. So don't be terrified, because when you're terrified, it's literally debilitating. And especially with people isolated right now from each other, social distancing, it's can be very terrifying, because you're alone, and some more than others. And so, those who have family, it can be terrifying to be alone together 24/7. But, those that stay home moms are used to it, like Annie, like Sage. They're home with their family all the time. But there's some of us, it's an adjustment. But give it to the Lord. That's right. So let's turn to Joshua 3 through 1 through 7. Verse 1, it says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim. I don't know how to say that for sure. And went to the Jordan, where the camp before crossing over. All 3 days, the officer went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, Lord your God, and priest, who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance from about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it and went ahead of them. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. So there's a lot in this that I feel like God had pointed out some things that we need to do as well. Part of us is to see the Holy Spirit in the situations that we're in. Just like when the ark, you know, to me represents the moving of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we need to see the Holy Spirit on us, in us, through us. And as we move as priests and kings of the living God, which we are, as we move, you know, as the Holy Spirit moves through us, we will know which way to go. Because I believe we're on uncharted territory right now. Very much so. We're on, you know, uncharted areas of where we're going and what we're doing. And so I encourage you to really go after the Holy Spirit and to really see, because there's a lot of distractions, especially watching news, watching Facebook streams, is to get your eyes off Jesus. And we don't want to get our eyes off Jesus. So keep your eyes on where the presence is and keep your focus on that. Point seven of one of the things you should do or could do or should be doing is consecrate yourself. Consecrate sometimes is not the clearest word. I think most people get the general idea, but it's, you know, it's to be holy, to dedicate yourself, to purify yourself, devote yourself. I think right now is our level of devotion should skyrocket. Our level of devotion right now. And one thing that God is revealing to me that I believe He's saying where we're at is we that we're just kind of where Israel was right now is there's a crossing over. There's a crossing over right now. And Bridge of Hope is not only a bridge of hope over trouble, but it's a hope. It's a bridge of hope through trouble, through water. So you know, if you notice when you read through this, they actually crossed through dry land. It was dry. So He heaped the water up above, and I believe we can cross through troubled water, but we have to go there as priests, as kings, and lead the people. And we are all priests and kings. We're all leaders. And that includes leading the world through it. So I encourage you to consecrate yourself, especially in this time of being shut in, being hunkering down, as the mayor put it. We need to hunker down in the Lord and really see victory even though the enemy is trying to isolate us. So purify yourself, dedicate yourself. We're going to jump to Joshua 5, but I'm actually not going to read it. I'm just going to kind of summarize what's going on. So Israel's already crossed over, and they've crossed the Jordan to go over into the Promised Land, and they're getting ready to go to take Jericho. And the Lord tells them, make flint stones and circumcise yourself. So I don't want to go into any gross details or anything like that, but I felt like the Lord was telling me we need to circumcise our heart. We need to cut off the things that have been hindering us. And that's not necessarily to do with sin. That has to do with maybe things that have been distracting us, things that are guilt, shame. And I was looking at the verse 9. It says, then the Lord, this is after they did their circumcision, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And that word rolled away is gela. I think that's how it's said. And it says to be rolled together, to be rolled up in blood, dyed red. And I think that's so important is to wrap ourselves in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. We need to, and that may sound odd or weird, but it's not. We need to wrap ourselves in the finished work of the cross. And I felt like when I was reading this, is this is a call to men specifically too as well, is men to circumcise their heart and to cut out the things that so easily distract. To, you know, for me, it's so easy to, oh, I'm home, I'll do this hobby, they'll do this, and I'll do that, and I can get this stuff done, and I've already got a list of projects. We got paint yesterday for our house and got my list of projects, but I need to make sure my heart is circumcised, that, you know, it's in the right place. And so it's a call to men as leaders of your home, and I'm not discounting this for women either, but I'm just saying for men, is now's the time to step up and lead. And so I just encourage you, men. We had a great Men of Hope Zoom call yesterday. And if you're not part of that, just email us, and we'll try to get you on that Zoom list. Well, I think we're going to continue to try to do those during these times, since we're not able to meet in person. But I just encourage you to step up, men. It's time to step up. And then we're going to jump down to verse 13 of Joshua 5. It says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and said and asked, 'Are you for us or are you for our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." So there's three things out of that I felt like the Lord was highlighting to me. And verse 14, this is, you know, some believe this is the angel of the Lord. Some people believe, and I'm actually more inclined to believe, that this is actually Jesus himself. That's just my opinion, my belief. Don't know if I can really back that up, except the only thing I thought about was every place in the Bible where somebody tried to worship an angel, the angel immediately stopped them. And so that's why I lean more towards that this might be Jesus, but it's not a solid doctrine in my mind. But no matter if it's Jesus or an angel, the comment, and I know Zach preached about the us and them a couple Sundays ago, but what I heard the Lord say was, you know, Joshua came up to this man and said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" And he said, "Neither." And I was like, why would he say neither? And part of it was, he's on the Lord's side. And that's what I'm hearing, is be on the Lord's side. It's so easy to take our own, you know, this is my side. And that's where we usually arrogance creep in and pride. And it's like, no, I'm on the Lord's side. It's the Lord's army. It's not my army. I'm part of that army. But it is, you know, just make sure you're on the Lord's side, not on your own. And so that's what I was hearing out of that. And then verse 10, point 10 is worship. Verses 14, it says, "Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?'" In another translation, it actually says worship. He fell on the ground. So I encourage you, especially in its times where you have your home, you're in your prayer closet, or you're wherever you do your prayer time, is fall on your face. Worship. Give thanks. Give praise. And especially in the times, especially when you're discouraged, that's the word of the Lord right there, is it breaks discouragement when you worship. Especially when you know the Lord's on your side. Last point for this is stand in his holiness. Verse 15, it says, the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy. We need to put our toes in the holiness of God. That's why I was thinking about that. Why didn't he have him take his sandals off? And part of it is like, dig your feet in. You want to be touching as close to the holiness of God as you can. And it's his holiness which makes you holy. So dig your feet into his holiness. So, like I said, as some of those points you may be doing really well at, and some of them you just needed to be encouraged on it. Another thing I wanted to go in was into Matthew 3. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Sorry. And this is actually when Jesus was baptized. And we're going to be starting in verse 13. But I wanted to give you some tidbit of information because it was pretty cool to me. So a lot of people where they believe Jesus got baptized, some scholars believe it was close or near to the spot where actually the Israelites crossed over. If you actually look on a map where, at least where they have, if you go to Israel right now, where the place where they think he was baptized in, where they have the set of the gazebo thing where you can walk down in the water, if you look on the map where the Israelites crossed over and Jesus got baptized, it looks, at least on a map, it looks fairly close. So I thought that was a little interesting. And I think there's something to be said about there, because I think for us in New Testament thinking is they crossed over and took territory of the enemy, and Jesus crossed over at that point. At least he got baptized. He was submersed in water, but it was at the same spot where he went into full time, his full blown ministry. And there was power there. So I really believe right now we're in an open heaven. We're in an open heaven, and the Holy Spirit is going to descend upon us in a way like he's never have. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not with us right now, but there's new levels and new measures of Holy Spirit that are coming to us. So let's go ahead and read Matthew 3. And during this time, I felt like the Lord was giving us some warnings of some temptations. Just kind of like what Jesus was when he was tempted after he got baptized and then he went into the desert. So this is where we're going to start. Verse 13, it says, then Jesus left Galilee to come to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But when he waded into the water, John resisted him, saying, why are you doing this? I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, and yet you come to be baptized by me. Jesus replied, it is only right to do all that God requires. Even Jesus did what the Father is saying all the time, that we need to follow that example. Then John baptized Jesus, and as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realms opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. Then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky, saying, this is the Son of God, Son I love, and my greatest delight is in him. Chapter 4, verse 1. So we're going to move right into the temptation of Jesus. And I believe if Jesus was tempted with it, we definitely can be tempted with these same things. It says, after the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the lonely wilderness, kind of sounds like us right now. Sometimes we feel pretty lonely where we're at. But in order to reveal his strength against the accuser by going through the ordeal of testing, I want you to notice who led Jesus into the desert. It was the Holy Spirit. And, you know, one point I wanted to make with this is the desert that Jesus went through was in the promised land. Jesus was in the promised land. He went through desert. And actually, I, when I was sitting here, I really felt like that's a word for you, Zach, is you may feel like you're in a desert right now and you may feel very lonely. And I know you're going to get through this. I know you're going to get through the temptations of being discouraged. And but you will make it through because Jesus lives in you and the Holy Spirit's with you. And I just bless you right now. I decree your healing in the name of Jesus. And I just speak to you life, health to your body. And we are just agreeing with that. And all those people on Facebook, give a big amen to that, because that is the word of the Lord. So, starting in chapter 2. And after fasting for 40 days, Jesus was extremely weak and famished. Then the tempter came to entice him to provide food by doing a miracle. So he said to Jesus, "How can you possibly be the Son of God and go hungry? Just order these stones to be turned into loaves of bread." I just thought about this. So where the beginning of the Judean desert is, which it was where Gilgal was, which means, Gilgal means a circle of stones. And I think there's just something on there right there. He could have been pointing to those stones and saying, turn those stones, those 12 stones, that memorial of what he did into bread. Just a thought. He answered, "The scripture says, bread alone will not satisfy, but true life is found in every word which constantly goes forth from the mouth, from God's mouth." So I want to encourage you is get in your word, but don't limit the speaking of the Lord to you just through the word. It will always line up. What he's speaking to you will always line up with the scripture. So there's going to be a temptation not to get in his word, not to be listening. And that's where we have to, like I said, tune things out. Tune, not Facebook Live out right now, but tune out Facebook, you know, all the comments, all the negative comments. Tune it out and listen for the constant voice of the Lord. And, you know, when he's speaking to you, if he's speaking stuff like, you know, if you think he's speaking something and it doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it out. Red light should go up. Throw it out, and it should always line up with the word of the Lord. But be listening not only for the word of the scripture, but the word of the Lord for you in that situation. Verse 5, "Then the accuser transported Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and perched him at the highest point of the temple and said to him, 'If you're really God's son, jump, and the angels will catch you. For it is written in scriptures, he will command his angels to protect you, and they will lift you up so that you won't even bruise your foot on a rock.' Once again, Jesus said to him, 'The scripture says you must never put the Lord God to a test.'" There's such a temptation right now to say, "God, where are you?" And God's not afraid of that question. It's okay to ask that question. That's not the test. The test is, if you were here, God, then this wouldn't have happened. And that is a big temptation, and that's testing the Lord, and we do not want to go there. When we feel like we're bruising our foot on a rock, like we're kicking this rock to move it, and it's not moving, don't question that the Lord doesn't want to move it. So, that's first one is the temptation is to get out of his word, not to hear the word of the Lord. Number two is not to trust. Is we need to continue to put our trust in the Lord, trust in our finances. There's a lot of people who potentially could lose work, jobs, and our trust is not in the government. It's not in, "Oh, we're going to get this check. We're not going to get another PFD check from in the state of Alaska, we're not going to get this incentive. You know, those things are great, but that's not what we put our hope and our trust in. Our hope is in the Lord. So, you know, again, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. And let's continue on to verse 8. It says, "And the third time the accuser lifted Jesus up into a very high mountain range and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all the splendor that goes with it. All these kingdoms I will give you, the accuser said, if you only would kneel down before me and worship me. But Jesus said, go away, enemy." We needed to do that a lot. Go away, enemy. "For the scripture says, kneel before the Lord your God and worship him only." At once the accuser left him, and angels suddenly gathered around Jesus to minister to his needs. So there's the temptation not to worship. There is so many times where we do not feel like worshiping. Whether we come in this house to worship, whether we are home and the kids are crazy and your life's crazy, whatever. There's so many times where we just like, oh, I just don't feel like worshiping. There's many times I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I'm trying to concentrate on work. And I'm like, God's saying, put some worship on music on. And I'm like, I don't want to be distracted. I'm like, there's lots of thoughts that go through our mind, but you know, there is the temptation not to worship. And I encourage you, put worship on. Put, you know, one of the last words David McDonald gave to me and Eileen personally was play worship in our house to change the atmosphere of our house. And it starts with me, it starts with Eileen, and it flows down through our children. And so I encourage you, worship. There's no excuse that you can't just put on some worship music, and that's just not the only thing of worship. Worship, you be faithful to your jobs, you know, for your worker, be honoring of your employer, be honoring of that. That's worship. You know, serve your kids well, serve those around you well. That's worship. So I encourage you, continue to worship. Set your heart in a place of worship. So what I heard the Lord to is, and I feel like this is in lines with some of the prophetic voices that are out there right now, is I believe we are in a time of desert isolation. We're all not only ordered by government, by officials to hunker down, to stay put, to be home. What puts us in a place of isolation, in a way a place of desert, is I believe the Lord is saying, you know, whether, I don't know where we're at in this process, whether we're in a 40-day desert. There's also, I know Chuck Pierce had prophesied that the decline would come after Passover, and I counted the days. I wrote it down, I think 17 days away from Passover. It's close. So I don't know, you know, and of course Passover goes till I think the 16th, correct? It's 8 days. So, I mean, we're in the midst of this, but I really hear the Lord saying is the church is going to come out stronger. Bridge of Hope is going to come out stronger at the end of this because we submitted to the process of being in the desert. It's okay that we're in the desert. Like I said, the deserts can be in the promised land. You know, we could be living in our promises already, but we can, you know, Jesus even submitted by the Holy Spirit to go through that desert. And, you know, it may seem like we're hungry, and hunger is a good thing. And I actually believe in my spirit that we're actually going to see a huge manifestation of angels, where we're actually going to physically see them. I'm even declaring that over Zach right now, that an angel will show up in his room. So I would love to hear a testimony about that. So no pressure, Zach, but you can't manifest it. But, you know, it's, I believe we're going to see such a increase. This is going to be a catapult for us as a body. So I encourage you. I love you guys. This is obviously new to us. It's going to be very different for Zach when he preaches, which I'm praying he preaches next Sunday. I'm sure he will. Just keep the comments coming in. Let's keep the open lines of open communication. Let God download new ideas, new thoughts. We should have YouTube live stream up and running, both with Facebook Live and Ustream, by next service, next Sunday's online service. We will be uploading this online service to YouTube at the end of the service. We're able to do that. Just we weren't able to live stream it yet. So I encourage you, even if you're listening to this later, press into the things of the Lord, that the Lord's speaking to you. So, Ben, are you going to come down and we're going to do communion? So I encourage you right now, if you're at home, go get some items for communion, whether it's a piece of bread, some bread, wafers, vanilla wafers, whatever it needs to be, a cracker, a saltine, whatever. Some juice. I believe the Lord can sanctify anything. So I'm going to have Ben go ahead and lead communion. Yes.
So during worship, the Lord gave me this. It's a prophetic word dealing with presence, and it's going to tie into what's about to take place. It says this: there's always presence on the word, no matter where or when, how we engage. So what I was hearing is as we watch this video later, or if you're like, oh, I missed the service, so taking communion, I kind of missed it. As you're watching this video, it's timeless. And so the presence is timeless. The word is timeless. And so all we have to do is choose to engage and come into his presence. And no matter if this video is watched 10 years from now, there's still presence that goes with it. And so take the communion and be obedient and watch how the Lord moves.
So we're passing out the communion in here for a minute. After this, we're actually going to be going, we'll be listening to a video that David McDonald sent us this morning. So we're going to watch that as well. And we have to do a photo camera or a camera video of our screen, so hopefully the quality is okay. I can try to upload it. I can try to upload the video by itself so it's a higher quality. So I'm going to go ahead and have Ben do the communion. Zach, you can use your pudding or Jell-O, whatever you, as your wafer.
Passover is coming. I think it's extremely significant that we are not in the building today. And my heart went, as soon as Jody said, I'm going to talk to you about Joshua today, because that's what I'm going to talk about is Joshua. But he did the first five chapters, so I'm chapter 10 and 23, so we're good. But Joshua was an amazing example of faith, of courage, and a type of Christ in how he followed the leading of the Lord. And much of what we think about Joshua, or much of the book of Joshua, is not written just to tell us a story about Joshua. It's written to teach us about the faithfulness of God and trusting in the faithfulness of God and what the end result is. Joshua grew up under Moses. He read the first verse of chapter 1, says that Joshua was the servant of Moses. Joshua was uniquely suited to be the one to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb as opposed to the rest of the nation, recognized that the promised land was not about the land, it was about the promise. It didn't matter what was in the land, it didn't matter who was living in the land. God has promised, and it is ours. And that was the whole story of Joshua's life. When we go all the way to the end of chapter 23, it says Joshua is old, and many years had gone by, and he was getting ready to die. And so he called all the people of Israel together, and he said, I'm getting ready to go the way of all the men of the earth. And he said, the Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations, and to this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Jody read out of chapter 1, verse 7, be careful to obey. But at the end of the book, it says, be very careful to love the Lord your God. Joshua's life started, this whole, in my mind, this whole story with Joshua started at Passover. Joshua was late 30s, maybe 40, when God came to Moses and said, tell the people to sanctify themselves, pick a lamb, bring it into your house, live with it for 4 days, and then kill it. And then take the blood from that lamb, put it on the doorposts and over the top of your door, because I'm going to sweep through the land and take the firstborn of everything. Joshua watched from his house, along with 500,000-ish other men in their house, who obeyed the word of the Lord, and not in a prophetic meeting, not at a big arena, not at the tabernacle, not house by house, alone in their houses, they obeyed the word of the Lord and sat inside with a lamb who they had nurtured and killed and roasted and ate and watched and listened as God went by outside and took firstborn from everyone else in the land. It was not a conference. It was not a meeting. It was not a huge thing. Not that there's anything wrong with those. But God started in each house. Each man in his house had to follow the word of the Lord. And they went out from that house. They plundered the Egyptians. They followed Moses to the edge of the Red Sea, and they watched God instruct Moses to stretch out his staff, and the sea parted. And they went through the sea on dry ground and turned around and watched the sea swallow their enemies. And Joshua was there. Joshua was there in the laps around Mount Sinai for 40 years, eating manna every day, seeing the faithfulness of God. He was the one that instructed the priests to step foot into the Jordan and enter the promised land. He was the one who went on a crusade through this land of promise and destroyed nation after nation, king after king. In fact, Joshua 10 says, he told the sun to stand still, and it stopped for a day. The actual verse says, there has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. That's Joshua's legacy. But he gets all the way to chapter 23 to the end, and he says, I am going the way of all the earth. Know in all your heart and soul that not one of the promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed. That's for us. The isolation that has been mandated on the world is part of God's plan. He is faithful through all of it. The circumstances around us don't affect the faithfulness of God. Hebrews 11, talking about the heroes of faith, says of Abraham that his faith in God enabled him to become a father even when he and Sarah were too old, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He counted God as faithful, and that enabled him to become the father of many nations. We need to consider him faithful. His promises cannot change. What's going on in the land is not the issue. It's what is the promise about the land. And we are children of promise. And what has been given to us is a lamb to set us free. And the plague may be going on around us, but if we are following the word of the Lord and in our house, we sit down at our table with our lamb who has been provided, a spotless lamb, and we partake in that and acknowledge that it is on our behalf that that lamb has died, we can watch whatever go on outside the house. And we are exactly where the Father wants us to be. So it's no small thing that we are not in this house. We're in our individual houses. Because that's where this starts. And Passover's coming. Passover's coming. And with it comes the deliverance. With it comes the victory. With it comes... It's not... Passover isn't the end of captivity. Passover is the beginning of freedom and beginning the promise. So we're here to remember, with little things that we have in our hands to remind us of what God's promise is for us. All those things Jody read, I will never leave you or forsake you. Doesn't matter what the promise is, it will not, it cannot fail. Right. Joshua proved, he got to the end of the life, not one promise has failed. We have to stand on that. That is our portion. Be people of faith and consider him faithful who has promised. He cannot fail. Jesus, we are so humbled that you've included us in this plan from the ages. That before time began, you knew about this day. You knew about this week, this month, this thing going on in the world. And you have been working this for good from the very beginning. And we are humbled by a God who chooses us to be his hands, his voice, salt in this world. And we ask that these emblems, as we take them today, would renew in us a dedication, a devotion, a love for you. We want to be very careful to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. We don't put our trust in any of those other things. We put our trust in you. Yeah. You cannot change. You have never changed, and you will never change. You are faithful to the end. We remember your death this morning. We say thank you for your provision. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your faithfulness. Inspire us, motivate us, give us a vision of you and your plans. May we never doubt, never be fearful, always trusting, always hoping, You alone are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You can go ahead and partake. So, we are going to watch a video from an apostolic voice in our house, and a prophetic voice for our house. Dave McDonald, he was just here, conference. It was just a great prophetic conference that we had. And I honor you, David, if you're watching. I know you were watching earlier. Honor you, and we just speak provision over you, that your flight will be able to get out tomorrow, and you'll be able to get where you need to go and all the places that you need to minister. And we just speak and pray over you, blessing, and we just all the financial provision will be given for all the things that you need to accomplish that God has put on your heart to do. So we speak that over. So let's go ahead and watch the video.
I just want to say good morning to everybody of Bridge of Hope this morning, and wanted to encourage you in the season that you're in. We're all in a new season. We've never been here before, and I pray that even as you listen to this message, that we'll allow the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to navigate us through this season. And so this morning, I just wanted to speak about the characteristics that we can exhibit in a season like this. You know, the Bible says that you are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. And so, you know, in this season, you may be found, or maybe you may feel that you are bound to your home or you're restricted to your home, but, you know, we can still get out there and we can still live amongst society. We're still within the culture of where we live. And, you know, as a church family, you have such a great opportunity to shine and be the encouragement that people need. We don't realize many times that just one word of joy, a word of faith, a smile, you know, even blessing somebody in this season. You know, this week, I would say, you know, why don't you exchange gifts? Exchange monetary gifts if you want to give money. If you change, you know, you can exchange a lot of gifts in these seasons. And I think sometimes we don't realize the impact we have in giving gifts. But, you know, the one thing I want to say is, you know, you are the light of the world. Jesus said that. He said, I am the light of the world. And then he said, you're the light of the world. And so we carry so much the attributes of Jesus in us. It says in John, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. So think about that for a second. Just meditate on that statement for 1 second or maybe 15 seconds. But it says, as he is. Well, my Jesus is merciful. My Jesus is graceful. My Jesus is forgiving. My Jesus is gentle. My Jesus is meek. My Jesus is full of joy. My Jesus has compassion. And so I just want to come and just encourage you as a church. You know, a bridge of hope is a very prophetic word. You are a bridge to people. You're a bridge where people can come to. You're a bridge that is open. You're not a toll gate. You're not a drawbridge, but you're the bridge of hope. And so I just pray this morning that, you know, that you'll say, God, we're not going to take our lights and put our lights away. We're not going to bury our lights. We're not going to hide our lights, but we're going to let our lights shine. And that means that your language changes. That means that you speak in life. You know, we can all get on the bandwagon and become conspiracy theorists, and we can hear the media, but you've got to hear the word of the Lord, and you've got to become a transmitter. Of God's glory and his kingdom. And so the other part of what I want to say is that you're the salt of the earth. That means that wherever there's unrighteousness, you become the righteousness. Wherever there's darkness, you're the light. But where there is sickness, you bring healing. I feel that as the salt of the earth, God wants you to always, I believe, in this season, let's operate in a different spirit. Come with a opposite spirit. When people are feeling fearful, come with faith. When people are feeling angry, come with peace. You know, so that's, you know, you and I are really the antidote on the earth. And so, you know, so I just wanted to just say, Dee and myself love you. We believe that God wants to use Bridge of Hope in this season. We've been praying for Zach and Sage and your leadership team. And we are so thankful for your leadership. And we're so thankful for your prayers, your hospitality, and your grace. And just lift up, you know, the Bible says, lift up your heads. Lift up your heads this morning. You're not a feeble people. You're a strong people, full of faith. You've come through some things. You've broken through some valleys and some wildernesses. And I know that this is a time where a lot of people just want to withdraw and we don't want to mix with people. But you and I have an opportunity in this week to really shine forth. And so, you know, be like I said last week, you know, revealing the kingdom produces the power to transform cities. Revealing the kingdom. And so all of us have an opportunity in every way, little ways, big ways, being generous, being kind, being merciful. Reveal the kingdom. And as you reveal the kingdom, we produce that spirit of transformation and reformation. So bless you. We love you. This is our last morning here in Alaska. Dee and myself want to thank you so much for your beautiful generosity, your love towards us. And pray for us as we leave tomorrow. But it's been a magnificent time in Alaska. And you be blessed. We love you all. Have a wonderful day. Have a blessed week. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. God bless you.
That was a really good word. Let's receive it, all of us. We are the salt and the light of the world. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. If anyone here in this place needs prayer, we're going to pray. If you're at home, I commission all the people around you, if by yourself, to pray for yourself. Lay hands on yourself. And if you lay hands on yourself, make sure you wash your hands. I'm kidding, but we do need to just honor what, you know, what the medical field's telling us to do, and just but our hope is in the Lord. So I that's just a really good word from David, and I do receive it for this house and for us. So I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we'll turn the live feed off. Father, we just give you all the glory and the honor. Lord, we give you all the praise. We worship you. We are so thankful that we live in you and that you live in us, Lord. And we just pray right now, Lord, I just pray for everyone that's at home. Their houses will be filled with peace. The peace of God would just rest upon their house. The Holy Spirit would just rest in every person. And I just pray right now, Lord, that any fear that would come against households, Lord, that would be broken in the name of Jesus right now. And Lord, and I just pray right now, every provision will be provided. You are the Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, and you will provide for us in every way. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that as we communicate with each other, that we reach out to each other, whether we have individuals over to our house and have break meals with them, or we're reaching out on Facebook or phone calls, emails, whatever way, Lord, that we would be encouraging and that we would just come right now against negativity. Help us not to be, to join in on that negative voices that are already so rampant in this world right now. Lord, that we would be, like David said, we will counteract, we'll be opposite of what those voices are, and we will be the bridge of hope. So we just thank you for that. We just love you. And we just bless this time, make it be fruitful, make the worship and the word that you have spoken, Lord, that make that be fruitful in our lives. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We love you all. Have a great day.